You should be reading I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons, a witty and humorous memoir and brainy essay penned by Autumn Simmons from her early life, pop culture, religion, feminism, race, and relationships. I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons is available via Barnes & Noble and worldwide for ebooks and beyond. Enjoy I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons.
Welcome to Quirk of the Day. It's your host and producer, Autumn Simmons. How are you? Yes, this is episode 90. Working Girl. Romantic comedy drama. And this movie debuted in 1988. Yes, 1988. It's been a long time, but it's still a very interesting movie. Comedy. Romantic comedy, which starred Melanie Griffith, who portrayed Tess McGill and also Harrison Ford, Jack Traynor, yes, that's who he portrayed, and also Sigourney Weaver, who portrayed Catherine Parker, and Alex Baldwin is the jerk, who was the boyfriend of Tess McDougan. I'm glad she didn't marry him. So, yeah, this working girl is very interesting. And when we think of jobs and career, and just in general, if you've ever experienced working in any type of aspect of career, and I've worked in radio, I've worked a little in TV as well, and so it's interesting, regardless of what type of job or career that you may have had, you're always going to contend with assholes or people who are jerks and people who like to take the ideas of and off of others so that they can actually continue to grow to the further aspect of the level of the top. Or if it's not that, then it's always about something. It's always bullshit with people. People don't really get along with people. People are animals, most of them. They're trolls. Again, they're assholes. And a lot of us have experienced terrible managers, assistant managers, executive managers who are terrible. I can tell interesting stories. I didn't get to experience the working girl thing of being with those types of opportunities to go to bed with those types of people, but it's so interesting. But I remember just before I even got into radio and TV, like in my 20s and 30s and all of that, it was interesting. I just knew not to date anybody in those types of fields. Yeah, I wouldn't date, like, when I say romantically leading to sexual, you know, I've had crushes, but not as often, but I've had crushes. Normally my boyfriend at the time, they would be the type that would not be at my job. You know, I would meet them elsewhere. And so, but this is how life has been for some. Some people meet people on the job and they may potentially get engaged, they may marry. And so that has been for others. But this movie, it was released December 21st, 1988. The director, Mike Nichols, and screenplay was also Mike Nichols in addition to Kevin Wade. And so, yeah, people are dogs in the work field. And it's interesting. I don't know if we should say Tess McGill, whether or not she was a secretary or a receptionist. Secretary or receptionist. I don't know, you decide. But I do remember she used to be in love with and married to Antonio Banderas. And I didn't get into the history to find out how long the marriage lasted. I didn't do all that, but and she used to have this other, I think she was a model at some point in the 90s, and she used to say, you know, defy something, something with defying and all this other stuff. It was supposed to be like a fun commercial or something of that nature. And so, yeah, you ever notice in the movie Working Girl, before we get into how it started, it started terrible. You're like, what are you talking about, Autumn? It started terrible with the 80s hairstyles. It came in with that. Like, you know, even Winnie Houston, like her 80s hairstyle with the Leo lion look. And that was hot back in the days, whether the hair was very long or not, or whether people were wearing a weave or not. But it's something with the hair. When Tess got this opportunity to be a secretary at this corporation, and then she had to meet this bitch who wanted to pretend like she was the same age as her, a little younger. They always have to, this catty. But I think Tess was really kind and she came across very sweet. But if you could cross her, she could, you know, get you back in a way you wouldn't expect because of the way she presents herself. A lot of people would think that she's simp and that she's, or simple, that people could take advantage of her in the way she presented herself, as if she was not necessarily so easy, but as if gullible. And that's the perception that Catherine had of her. And then even when she met Catherine's man, and this was Jack, and we're going to get into that, how that happened. And as far as the music, we came in with some good stuff. We came in with some, you'll know what it is when you hear it. And then you'll know when you hear it who it is. It might be Madonna. I think I wanted to put in a little Madonna. And if it's not Madonna, then it would be her. So like, who else will I put in on this song? Because it came in with, if you saw how the movie began, it begins with Carly Simon. So let's just say, hypothetically, I might put in some Carly Simon when you do hear it come in. It might be Carly Simon. But I didn't really like the way it comes in with that song. It's very dramatic. It is in New York, as you see. You completely see New York. New York is full of assholes, man. You might find a few that are okay. I've met a few that are okay, but most of them are assholes. And that's how Manhattan had been. It looks amazing. I actually got to visit New York earlier this year. I was there for a little less than 2 months, and I was in Manhattan. I enjoyed that more so. I didn't get a chance to get to Brooklyn and the Bronx, but I was in Queens, and I didn't like Queens. I wasn't a fan of Queens, but Manhattan was nicer. I'm just a little upset I didn't get to go to Brooklyn and the Bronx to see. I met people who were from the Bronx. I met a couple of people I met in New York, and I met a few again. Like I said, a few were okay, but most were terrible. Or if they weren't too terrible, at least I knew how to keep myself within my own lane and just focus on what I'm observing. And I'm glad I never ever chose to have a home in New York or to rent in New York. I'm glad I didn't, you know. I stayed in nice hotels mostly. I found better ones. Some are better than others, obviously. But I won't be going back to New York ever again. And to be honest with you, I could count on one hand how many times I've ever been to New York. Very seldom. Yes, very seldomly have I been to New York prior. Maybe 2 times in my life. I think maybe 2 times prior to visiting. And when I did visit again past the 2 times, I didn't always count those extra times where I would take a plane and go to another country and leave the United States and take the JFK to get to where I was going. I took the JFK to get to Iceland. Okay, so I don't have time to hang in New York at that time, but some people love that apple. And they love the fact that it's this New York that never goes to sleep. And I experienced that. In the beginning, it looked cute in the beginning. I kind of liked it. And I wasn't bothered too badly. But I was also seeing, yeah, Stephen Colbert's, his late night show where it was. And I said, oh, there's Stephen Colbert. Because I used to want to go to Stephen Colbert's late night show so I could just be one of the audience members. That would be an aspect of a guest. And I didn't get a chance to do that because it looked fun and people were there having a good time. While they are there for that reason, though they normally don't always meet the late night host, and some of them could be jerks, but hey, you know, you don't go there to just try to meet them. You just want to enjoy to see who's coming on, to see if it's interesting. It might be, sometimes it might surprise you. Oh, wow. Ooh, it could be. You know, I used to be crazy about certain people. I'm not going to mention all their names, but anyway. But, yeah, we need to know. That's the thing I wanted to pick up. We need to know. The reason why I bring up we need to know is you see in this movie, and everyone has experience with people on how they are. They're very nosy. People need to know. They need to know. They need to see. They need to see through their nosy eyes, like their nosy eyes, and they need to see. You ever notice there are way too many nosy women who are really, men can be very nosy too. A lot of people have a false perception about men thinking that they're not nosy. They could be nosy too. And some could be nosy like a female. And I've met men who are like describing another male of how they're kind of like a female with how nosy they can be and how petty they are. And so I've experienced it on all sides. I remember when I was much younger and I used to work at a gym, and I actually, this gym was for just women, and it was, I don't want to name the name of it anymore because it's not in business right now. And when I worked there, I became an assistant manager. I worked to become the assistant manager, and then I became a manager, and all we worked with women. And so at this gym, the women were like this. They were just catty and nosy about each other. And if another young lady had gotten married, they would be bitching about who they got married to and how well they got married and who she putting on weight. And they could be any persuasion. They didn't have to be the idea of the race. They would be all like that and just love the gossip about another young lady. And I was better with that. When I worked as a manager, I learned to keep my mouth shut and not talk about other people while working, and to say something that could lead to another person saying what another person potentially would say what someone said about someone. So I was just focusing on work. And so you see this in this movie, Working Girl. The girls, there was a lot of secretaries who were mostly female. I think they were mostly, if not all. And they always needed to look and see who the women were with. And so when Tess was meeting Jack Trainer, all the eyes had to look at this man. Like, this man was seen so handsome, all the women would just look all over just to see who she is with, right? And they didn't care if whether or not Jack was with Catherine. I don't think they really cared or knew about all that, but it was just the idea. Like, they needed to see, they need to hear the results, they need to know what's going on. And so, you know, this would be real. I think their jobs were boring, and this is why they would need some entertainment so that they could focus on something else while they are bored with their jobs. So they know that they have to work, but they were bored. And so this was entertainment to see a handsome man walking in and seeing with who this other secretary was, which was Tess. And it's like, oh, she's knowing him. Oh, okay. And they're curious, a little too curious. I've experienced this even as a younger woman, coming in with your own boyfriend. And even if they don't want your boyfriend, but they just need to see who you're with to see how they can, when I say they, the women want to, I don't know, they want to just compete in some fashion to see what the level of this man is and to see whether or not he's worth being with you or whether or not, why is he with her? You know, have you ever seen that? I've experienced that where I have had men who have been millionaires when I was like in my 30s. I began to know millionaire men who were knowing who I am, and in a result, I would have, well, it's not even a result, but women would be, how did you get him? And they would assume, sometimes it would be an assumption, just because they would know me and be interested in me, but I wasn't interested in what their agenda was, which would usually be sex. And so some of the jealous women who thought they were prettier in the face would think, you know, how did you get him? You know, how did you get him? I said, I'm not looking like Whoopi. I don't look like Oprah. Okay, and I'm not looking like any of these other persuasions. And people say, why would you say that about Oprah and Whoopi? Because they had some stank spirits, not just what they look like in the face. They just had some stank ass spirits about how they really were. And then I found out what they actually were outside of what they presented themselves in the world. And so, but yeah, I'm just using it as an example. I'm just using it as an example about the perception. You know, I don't have to look like a so-called fake-ass model is not real. Most of them, they don't even look that pretty anyway, till their makeup is off as well, and they're mostly plain. And so, but people are really into that. They're really into the falsehood of perfection, and some will never be that, and that's cool. And I've seen women who have married some handsome men, and the men were more handsome than the women they actually married, and the women were not handsome or pretty. And so I've seen a woman years ago when I was working in another, I worked for a newspaper. It was a woman married a man who was in the army. He would be considered handsome. And the woman was like, she's very plain compared to him. He was very handsome. And sometimes people do choose to marry people. Everybody doesn't always choose to marry people who look like models. And most would not be able to be with the model anyway, because the way they have been perceived to be presented that way, it's a small percentage that will look that idea of what beauty is, because they would look as if they are more exotic, because it's not as many of them who would have that aspect of the look, which is false. And you would find in the spirit realm, at least what I did, is they didn't look that way, the way they were perceived, how they were made to look that way. And I was like, oh, ooh, right. And so It is interesting about the idea of beauty. Yeah, we all have our own idea on what that standard could be, and we start seeing it even through commercials. We begin to see that they're trying to make anyone can be beautiful. Okay, whatever. So if we want to go to petty stuff about like Shrek and Fiona and the idea of her beauty, right? And then it was discovered what Fiona really looked like an orc. Yeah, like just basically what he looked like, Shrek, what Shrek looked like. Yeah, so we were just kind of like, the idea of beauty, she didn't like what she looked like when she found out. Yeah, Fiona did not like what she looked like when she thought she looked the way she came in. And I was like, why didn't we find out where her mother, the queen, and her father, the king, what he really looked like, and not just what Fiona looked like? Ain't that a bitch? And so you ever noticed too, when it came to Catherine Parker, who's also this manager, this executive, Sigourney Weaver, and she was from a wealthy family. I would know it based on how they presented the family picture with her. She's the only in the family, in a sense, the intermediate, the only child. And so she grew up in wealth. And so it was interesting to see that Tess didn't grow up. Yeah, she did not grow up in wealth. She obviously grew up what's considered, I don't even think it was middle class. I think it was poor. And her friend, her best friend was also, I don't think they were middle class. They damn sure weren't upper middle class at all. And so do you see with Tess, her boyfriend, you know, his idea of succeeding was just to get a loan from a boat so he could use for business. He thought that was amazing. And I said, please, Tess, do not marry him, please. But I love that she got her hair done. She'd start getting her hair after Catherine let her know that, you know, I don't think she was mean, but she let her know to have a certain look, and she knew to change that look if she's going to be in corporate like that, and if she wants to elevate, she has to look a certain way. So she understood it so fast, and she got the hair done. The hair was gorgeous. I liked it shorter, and finding out nice clothes to wear through Catherine. And it happened, I love that Catherine went to go on a trip to ski. I don't know if it was Colorado, maybe it was, but she went to go skiing and she broke an aspect of her foot. I don't think it was maybe it was a part of the knee, but it was mostly the aspects of the foot. And so she had to be away for about 2 weeks. And so she needed, when I say she, Catherine needed Tess to assist, to help her around, not just in corporate, like she needed her even at her home. And while she's at her home, she's finding out secrets, having to play cassettes where when Catherine's talking of Tess, not to give her this information regarding, she began to share information. And sometimes when I've worked in radio, even before you get the job, they will want you to give information, and to know whether they hire you or not, they will take your information because they want you to present yourself as if you know how the game works and to see how intelligent or how clever you can be. And so in the midst, they will, if you're just being interviewed and they want you to do other additional work to prove that you can get this job, they will take your ideas. You know, I've experienced it in radio. People have experienced it in TV. In many ways, I've experienced it even with books that I've written. I've had others who would take my ideas, and I wasn't able to sue them for those reasons. But as long as I was succeeding with my books, having book awards that were successful as well, and, you know, I didn't always have to be able to go to court regarding those matters, but I've experienced it, you know, and I would win in the end. I would win in the end of those matters and situations, but I like the test did win the way it does end. So having said that, we're going to take a pause and we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about Working Girl. Working Girl is, yes, definitely a fun romantic comedy. Again, I don't like when this happens. This is annoying. Hey, yo. Okay, there we go. Yeah, we're going to come back. And then we'll get into more about how did you get him? We need to know all this other bullshit. And I didn't talk about that before I was going to get on out. But I was dating a man, and he had been a police officer before. And he was a security guard. And when I was in college, and man, he was a security guard, and he was older, and I was a grown woman. I was like, practically, I was friends with him for about a year. We weren't even romantic. Dated. We got to know each other that wasn't romantic for about a year. And then after a year, we decided to date, and then others were like, we need to know. Like, we need to know. Why do you, girl, you came to college just to know some stuff that has nothing to do with what you should be studying in your books to worry with a grown woman who she's contending or talking with? And these would be the girls that go to the club, and then on Friday, Saturday, going to the club, and then on Sunday, they at the church. And how religious were they really? And they were sexually active. Very sexually active, but need to know what another grown woman is doing and who she's talking to. So I just wanted to conclude it with this. I think women, again, there is something about how the idea of the man has been made to be so important that it means something with how a woman comes across in life, in any experience, or let's say, when I say any experience, like any country or any state where she may be from. Yeah, it would base something based on status is where I'm going with that, is that if it's a certain type of man, people needed to know, you know, what the status of what this relationship is. And this is why a lot of people have to be mindful when you do decide to get married, and if you do get married, people, they prefer to elope. And then other people prefer to actually have all the big wedding, the whole Godzilla thing experience, and then you see they want all the people to know. And then sometimes you see in these movies, and in reality, people from the past will be popping up and acting inappropriate and disrespectful and all this other stuff. Or mostly some know how to bring in the etiquette, you know, even if they're not really genuine, but they want to bring in the etiquette, you know, because they know that if you are in good business, you're not going to come in and act a complete fool. If you want people to see others who are there, they're there for business too, for the idea of weddings and stuff of that nature. But so that's the thing, it's the status thing. Like, the guy that can be ugly, he could be fat, he could be bald, he could be anything, very skinny, very short, or tall, or handsome, dark and handsome, or very wealthy or rich, and all the status of the men would matter. And I've seen things that are very unusual where women will date and practically marry any kind of man, even if he didn't have legs, even if he have arms, even if he didn't have a head. Like, a woman anywhere in the world would just marry anybody just to have a man, just to have a man. And that's kind of scary about of manhood and how that had been changed in some sense to make women kind of stupid about men. And I think some women kind of got that over some time during the generation where the perception is different for other women. You know, of course, there are other women who are lesbian or pansexual as well, bisexual, pansexual, or asexual. And so for some, that wasn't always on the top of the list about the men in that form to think that they need to be with a man. I've met women who were actually genuine lesbians who would never marry men at all and would never want to be in bed with a man at all, you know. So having said that, we're going to take a pause this time, and I mean it, and then we come back, and then we'll go further in if I can. We'll go into this nosiness, okay? I will be back.
You should be reading I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons, a witty and humorous memoir and brainy essay penned by Autumn Simmons from her early life, pop culture, religion, feminism, race, and relationships. I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons is available via Barnes & Noble and worldwide for ebooks and beyond. Enjoy I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons.
Okay, welcome back to part two of episode 90, Working Girl. Yes, this is a romantic comedy drama. Yeah, yes, this is Autumn Simmons. This is the producer and the writer, all of the extra that you already know, of Crook of the Dice. So again, we came back. Just talking about this working girl leveling up may cause those to leave their friends, partners, and family behind. Yes, we have experienced that. And sometimes so-called former friends could be jealous of the most pettiest things. Even if you want to start a business, and if the business is something where you just want to, any type of business, it could be like a bakery, or maybe it's, you know, a flower shop, being a florist and wanting to have the business. And, you know, even if you were selling like water ice, okay, it doesn't matter what that is. Like, there are people who have had really good businesses. Small restaurants were more established restaurants that took time to generate that. And I was happy to meet friends who actually were married, and they've been a guest on Crook of the Day over, we're going on 3 years, I think. And those friends, Judy and Robert, were, when I met them, had hired Judy to become, what was she at that time? When I was a gym manager, she was a gymnast. No, she wasn't a gym. She was there to train. She was a trainer, and she wanted to become a trainer there because she was great with that, and that's what she came in as. And so I gave her a job. She was older than me. She was like 36 and I was 23, and I hired her before her and her husband actually became business owners of one restaurant, Venezuelan restaurant, because she was Judy was from Venezuela. First language was Spanish, and then she also began to learn to speak English in the United States, and she married a Caucasian man of the United States. And it was interesting, they stayed married for a long time, and they had still been married for a really long time, and very loyal with each other, loyal with the business and all of that. I wasn't jealous of that. I was actually happy for them that they actually were married and they started this business together. And but just going back to Tess in this movie, Working Girl, her friends, you know, well, the main friend that she had was feeling some type of way and thought she was a little wrong, when we gotta be real, like, Tess's boyfriend dogged her by inviting another young lady, and her name was Donna, and this other young lady was like, the moment she's coming in and he's thinking she's out maybe doing some school work outside of work, and whatever his perception of where he thought Tess was, she happened to be there, and he's having sex in the bedroom, which is their bed, and this other bitch is there, and she's actually very little embarrassed for a bit, and then felt that was natural. And Tess didn't whoop her ass. I was like, Tess, what's wrong with you? Why do you beat her ass if she don't have nothing on? And he was acting like she was wrong. And so her best friend wanted her to forgive this asshole, forgive Mick. And I didn't like her still trying to reconnect with him as some bond they still had, even if they weren't having sex anymore. But and it started off with her for her birthday. That's how the movie begins. Tess is just turning 30. So let's be real. When you're hitting 30, that is the time where your prime is, at that point where people assume that part. Sometimes the prime could be 40. Some had been 50, maybe 60, but some, the prime would be early for others. And so, but when you're a female and you hit 30, you're wanting to be very successful at that point, for many to be successful at that point in their life, and what that would mean for the way they were raised and their ideas of their success and what that would mean for them. And so Tess was no different in that regard, but her friend was like, you know, they didn't think that she could really do very well in corporate. And she had it's interesting, she had a job there, but it was just like, they didn't really see that she could go further with her ability. And even so, my friends, they may not mean it, but some do because it's jealousy. But at least her friend did get married, and when her friend, Tess's friend, did get married, She did go to the wedding, but her friend was just thinking, like, okay, maybe you should forgive Mick. And it's like, no, he's wrong. And she felt he was disloyal. But then when they, before Tessa's friend did get married, they had kind of like a, I guess you could call it like a bar where they were letting everyone know at the bar that they were getting married, but it wasn't an official wedding just yet. But it was like a party to kind of, I guess a fiance party, but it wasn't that type of party. Like, it wasn't a bachelorette party. Like, it wasn't that kind of party, but it was that type of party where they're there to let people know eventually they are going to have the actual wedding, the reception, all that. But it wasn't that. But in this particular establishment where the bar had been, and it was like Tess's former boyfriend, he wanted to try to, you know, see if he could give the impression that he wanted to marry or get on his knees and, you know, I guess do this fake fiance type thing in front of everyone. And then the bitch that was having sex with him in the house, well, their place or their apartment or whatever they were saying, and she's embarrassed because she was the hoe, and then she's embarrassed by the type of guy that he is, which was a snake. And Tess called him a snake. Yeah. And so, but sometimes people do get addicted, and they also have a connection, like a bond. And sometimes the bonds that are negative, toxic, that need to be broken over some time when we see it's not going anywhere. And so he was a jerk too. Her former boyfriend, he was calling her out, and the jealousy seemed like it was from her former boyfriend. And I don't want to say her friend was really that jealous, but it seemed a little bit, but not majorly. And so she did have her friend come and help and pretend to be her secretary while she's having to pretend to be Catherine's, like, being her to some extent, having the actual, you know, executive type of managing type of job. And so, the executive manager. And so when she did decide to know how to meet this man that was connected to Catherine, which was Catherine's man, they weren't married and they weren't engaged, but they had been together, let's say it that way. It was, it been romantic with Jack Traynor. And so she meets him, and I think she did not give him full information about who she actually was, but he found out who she was, but he didn't want her to know it was actually him. And it was like, oh, so he playing too, play all of them playing games. A lot of people like to lie, they don't like to be honest. And so they ended up like hooking up without having the sex first, but they ended up being in bed together, and yeah, they had a drink, and then he took her to where he knew she was residing and where she was working. Actually, technically, that was Catherine's, her apartment in New York, which was Manhattan. And so he already knew all of that. He was getting to know all that. He kept it a secret up until it could not be kept, because of the fact it had been known that Tess had some really good ideas about this radio and how the radio could be utilized for some other gentleman who had great power and could consider this. But it's just Catherine needed to get out of the way and take advantage of that. But the women, so even within the beginning when she's coming in with her ideas, and the bitch on the right that was connected to Catherine was like, just what type of food and, you know, beverage they could have for, you know, like a, you know, a cocktail party for business. And the bitch was upset about the fact that Tess was suggesting that they get some dumplings or something, of some type of Asian food and Chinese food. And she's thinking like, oh, it's not that intelligent, it's not that sophisticated, you know, like, bitch, shut up. Tess would have been that type, but it would be unprofessional. But it wasn't professional for the older woman to talk to her that way, even if she's not using vulgar language, but she's also assaulting her through her voice and her tone and her verb, her vibration. Yeah, all of that. Her vibration, all of that. Oh, any word that I want to make up, right? It was this bitch. She needed to shut up, okay? You know, stop, you know, hacking on her just because she's the new girl. And that's what it seemed like, because she's the new girl. And so then these other two assholes that were there, that she was as a secretary, and they were playing her to go meet another guy who wanted to look at pornography and pop the bottle of this champagne or some kind of alcohol. I think it was champagne, something like that. And she had to throw it on him, throw it on the men. She came back. She realized he was trying to set her up to be, you know, in bed with this man that wasn't going to go anywhere for her. And so at least when she did have the sex, yes, Tess had the sex with Jack Traynor. It was worth it. And even I wasn't there. This is fiction. It's fantasy. It was worth it, okay? Because he was worth it. That was the man that was worth it. And there might be people you might meet if you needed to do that. There would be those who are worth it. And there are people who are not worth it. So that man, that those two jerks, if she's a secretary and they wanted to hook her up with that other guy, and she came back, she let them know who they were, and she put it out there. How she put it where everyone could see all the words coming in when they would have to do these, the corporate things that needed to be up there for people to see what's going on. Kind of like stock market type stuff. And so she was like, such and such is a dick. Like, he has a small dick. And I was like, I was laughing about that asshole. This asshole has a small dick. And everybody looked at it and laughed. It was funny. So, yeah, that was very, very interesting. Very interesting. And so, yeah, the women are so desperate. Yes. And so I would say they're so desperate because I was looking at Catherine again. Now, Jack Traynor was okay in his career, but he wasn't as wealthy as Catherine. But Catherine was willing to marry Jack Traynor, though he's still seen as hot, and he's very successful. But it seemed as if Catherine was higher up, even though she was a woman, and she cheated. We know she cheated to get to the top. We know she did. But in the midst of that, I was surprised that she would be willing to think that maybe there could be better than Jack Traynor. But for some reason, she wanted Jack. For some reason. And another thing I'm going to mention is that people always want what other people perceive to have. And usually, if someone sees you have this being or this person, they want what you desire or who they think you desire. And then they want to compete with that because it's the perception that people do that, you know, with some of the men. Sometimes if the man is married, the women will want him just because he's married. But, and then there'll be some, if they're very successful and if they have power, then they want him, you know. And then that would be a lot of competition. I recently saw Boomerang. I haven't seen in a while. That's an example of Eddie Murphy's character, Marcus. He actually was very attractive, very successful, a lot of power as well. And that's how, because of who he was, the other women wanted to compete and be with him, just go to bed with him, right? Or just to be with him in some fashion, to be his girlfriend, and knowing that he wasn't in that position. Well, he was in the position to marry, but he just wasn't ready to marry. So I think in the next episode, I was going to bring in Tootsie at some point for the year out. But I think we're going to review Boomerang on my side of it with Quirk of the Day, because I've been on other podcasts as a guest, and I was invited to be a guest reviewing Boomerang, but my idea of it would be very different from how they did their idea of it, though I was a guest. But I'm thinking on it because I recently saw it, like, on this past Sunday. I watched and saw Boomerang, and it was fun. I hadn't seen it in such a long time, but I enjoyed it, and it was amazing because I have shared on this podcast that I've seen that movie the first time in the movie theater. That's how I knew Eddie was when I was really young. I'm about 7. I think I was aware of who he was when I was very, very young. And so it had to do with Delirious, but I think it was Raw first. That was the one I saw. And later I'll find Delirious. And then these other movies that were so good, including like Coming to America. I went to the movies to see so early, and it was just like inappropriate. But hey, mother was open at the time. So having said that, I think that's mostly, we did come in with the Madonna. Yes, we came in with Madonna music, Material Girl. Yes, this is Working Girl. So we came in with Material Girl, and we also came in with Borderline. Yeah, and so we conclude with that part of it. Yeah, we conclude with more of that. We do Lucky. Yeah, you must be my lucky star. We do Lucky Star, that too, at the end. But yeah, so we came in with, yeah, Material Girl, and then also part two was definitely going to be, what was it we were going to be calling it? We were calling it, I don't like when it happens. But this is definitely going to be borderline, and then we end with, lucky star. I think it's one of those. But yeah, so I haven't seen that. It's very interesting, fun movie about it, but I like how it ended well. And I like other things we could have mentioned, but I like how it ended well for... I like how it ended well for Tess. Tess ended up becoming successful. It almost looked like she wasn't going to make it. It looks like she almost got put out in this way of how it was perceived that she was cheating. But honestly, she wasn't cheating. She was playing the game. That's the game, how the game had been. And people would cheat. A lot of people were cheating. And some would succeed from it. And probably, I don't know how many, but a lot would. They were succeeding with cheating. And then sometimes it's like the game, it would fall on others when they thought that they were still at the top. And at the top, the man that was very powerful, he decided to fire Catherine at that point because she could not prove where she got this information from and didn't even know the information. Even if she wrote things down, she didn't have the ideas the way that Tess had the ideas. She knew the ideas in her mind, even when she left any aspect of her paperwork. Okay, so it wasn't the purse. Yes, okay, it wasn't Tess's purse. Sometimes she would leave her purse, and she was a little, I don't want to say ditzy, but sometimes when you're working a lot and your mind is all over the place with different things you have to recall and remember when you're working for everyone, you could easily forget something. Yes, sometimes people leave a phone, they might leave a purse. And so it was nice that Jack Traynor actually was kind enough to give Tess a briefcase that was awesome. A nice briefcase, too. And in front of everyone, it was amazing. But, okay, it was this appointment book. And I thought it was called something else. Maybe something like a schedule book. Calendar schedule book or something of that nature. And so, a workbook. Yeah, but it was an appointment book. And so, Tess left it. And this time... Catherine already knew about her ideas, but then she looked into it, she realized that she knew. Yes, Tess was knowing and screwing. Yeah, Jack Traynor knew him like that. And she was, woo, and it got hot. It got real hot. And so you already saw. I like how at the end of it, though, it almost looked like Tess was going to lose because Catherine knows at the top, right? But this man saw in her favor. The other man who was more powerful than Catherine, he saw Tess as knowing the idea more and you had it in her head. So even when she didn't have her appointment book with her, even if she didn't have all the documents in her briefcase, she knew all of the information. And then when he actually spoke with Catherine, well, what's the idea that you had in mind? Could you share how you knew of this particular this idea that you have? How did you know of it? And she didn't have any words that she could think of. This woman was very sophisticated, very highly intelligent, articulate, all the words people use to describe intellect. Okay, but in the midst of this, it was just kind of, it wasn't there at that point. You know, maybe because it was the the injuring of, maybe it was the injury. Maybe it was her injury from where she was skiing, right? I think it may have been Colorado, but she was skiing, and when it was winter, she was skiing. So maybe that's something that happened with the brain. I don't know if she had wine, but all of a sudden, all these ideas that she took from Tess, and she was keeping this information and putting it on these recorders and things. So when she's recording all this information, this data, I would assume that she would have learn that information so that she could keep the information as if it was hers. And that's how they wrote the story so well with that regard, is the fact that Catherine wasn't really on it. Maybe the reason being is she didn't think Tess was that intelligent, and she also didn't think that Tess was really she wasn't on the ball with that regard of what's at the top and what most people would presume to be more ideal for what it is that would lead to an opportunity. Yeah, just an opportunity that maybe some would think is kind of simple, not that serious, but maybe not that sophisticated, but maybe sometimes it could be something simple. That's the word I'm going to get into. I'm a little tired. Yeah, so it would have to be something simple, and it didn't have to be so sophisticated to the point where, you know, you needed to be the scientist of the matter in order to get some good information. Right, to get some good information by observing what's going on and what's also popular and what is considered to be common or something people want more than common with good business. They want something more than what everyone is doing. They want something fresh. They want something new. And they want something that is definitely, ingenuity. Yeah, they want some ingenuity, something in that regard, right? So I think that's what it was. They just didn't believe that Tess really had it in her like that, where people would see her as a opportunity. Yeah, to have the opportunity to know what could work for another individual's business. And that's for their decision to make. It's their decision to make what would make that work for their business. And so, Catherine failed in that. And she lost her man. She lost the job. And they were talking about, and get your bony ass out of here. And she was like, excuse me, I will not be spoken to that way. And she said, bony ass, get your bony ass out of here. And she was fired. But just because she was fired didn't mean she was broke, because she was wealthy. So it's like, but hey, it's the ego. So that definitely fucked with her ego. And then she injured her leg, and then she lost her man. And then the people say that's bad luck, right? Catherine was at the top, and then this bad luck, that can happen with anybody, okay? That doesn't just happen with people who are not at the top or people who are at the top. Anybody could experience what is considered unluck, or just unlucky, just having luck coming in, and then all of a sudden the luck is gone, right? So having said that, thank you so much for tuning into episode 90, Working Girl Romantic Comedy Drama. It was pretty fun, I guess. Was it fun? I think it was kind of fun. But I wanted to talk on that. So maybe we're thinking Tootsie and Boomerang coming up. I'm happy I finally made it to 90. Yes. Sarcasm. One up another. They're weak and insecure. Yeah, I was going to say that too about people. When people are like that and they're assholes, it's a lot of insecurity in people. Even the greatest at the top are very insecure. Very insecure. I've met people who are considered to be more successful than myself who were way more insecure than me and weaker than me. And I'm not weak at all, but people have this perception. A lot of people, they don't know. And then I don't like meeting people who have been at the top and they would be surprised about me, almost like I'm like Tess. They treated me like I was Tess, right? So fuck them, and goodbye, and good night, and good day. It's asking for
you should be reading I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons, a witty and humorous memoir and brainy essay penned by Autumn Simmons from her early life, pop culture, religion, feminism, race, and relationships. I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons is available via Barnes & Noble and worldwide for ebooks and beyond. Enjoy I, Quirky Girl by Autumn Simmons.